May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In 1 Peter, it says in verse 13, therefore gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you through revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who has called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We mentioned this a little bit last night, but this sort of is a launching place today. That's a profound scripture because he says that we are, as obedient children, not only not to be conformed to our former lusts when we were ignorant of Christ, but to be holy in all our behavior, just as he is holy. So what does that mean? Does that mean, therefore, I'm now, since I'm supposed to be holy in all of my behavior, I'm supposed to, like, discover what God is like and then do the best I can to be as holy as he is? And that's an absurd statement because it's not possible. But when he says you can be holy because I'm holy, he's talking about something different. He's talking about the fact that he can say to us, be holy in all your behavior because I, the Holy One, live inside of you. And I'm prepared to live my holy life through you. Holiness is a person. It's not a goal. It's not some thing we're running towards. It's a person. It's a someone, Jesus, who lives in us. He says about us and about our relationship with him in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, really familiar place. I love this. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise, not many noble, according to the flesh, not many mighty, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God, because by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who, not what, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and holiness and redemption. Holiness, righteousness, redemption, wisdom is a who. That's Christ who lives in us. There's a place in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, this is a verse we've quoted hundreds of times in the last couple of years, but it's so profound because it says something really important about you. And it says something important about you and me that's really difficult to believe. It's really difficult to believe because even though Jesus came to set us free from a sin consciousness, we still live with a sin consciousness. And we just figure we're supposed to be guilty all the time because we don't get it right all the time and we should expect to fail again. And so there's just this sin consciousness instead of a Christ consciousness. And I've discovered in my life, you manifest what you're conscious of. What you are conscious of is what you emit. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, for the Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's remarkable. That's a definition of your new person, your new nature. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ. Because Christ lives in you and you share in his life, then you participate in his righteousness. You've become the righteousness of God. How righteous is Jesus? He's God. So Jesus is obviously as righteous as God. We've become the righteousness of God in Christ. I was telling somebody this morning that I've been wrestling for a long time, particularly last year or so, trying to define righteousness since we've been teaching from Romans. Like, what does that mean, except you're supposed to behave yourself? What does the word righteousness mean? And the word righteous, the original word, literally just means to be right. To be right, to do right, to be right. Just the word right. But I read a definition from someone this morning. I thought, wow, that's the perfect way to put it. It's the state of a person being as they ought to be before God and then before man. The state of a person being as they ought to be before God, therefore they are what? Acceptable. Being as you ought to be before God. That's just your condition. That's got nothing to do with what you do or don't do. You have become the righteousness of God because you're in Christ, and God sees you and accepts you in the, through the lens of your being in union with Christ. And so you're as right before God as Jesus is. That's a pretty safe place without fear of rejection and condemnation. The scary part about that, for people to believe that, is if I start believing that, then I won't care how I act. No, if you start believing that, you'll begin to act out what's true about you, because what you're conscious of is what you manifest. People keep sinning in their Christian life because they're fulfilling their own self-prophecy about who they think they are. And you can't be Christ-conscious and be self-sin conscious at the same time. But I love that. Being who you ought to be as a state, the state, get into the behavior, the state of being as you ought to be before God, acceptable. And because you're in Christ, being as you ought to be before men in your walk. Because you're now operating not by your trying to be holy or you're trying to be righteous, you're operating now by the righteousness of Christ, who knows how to act right in front of people and respond to people. When somebody insults you and you don't get offended and insult them back or get bitter at them, then you're manifesting the righteousness of God in Christ. When you get ticked off, get irritated, get impatient, get argumentative, get demanding, get all those things, that's not Jesus. And the good news is that when we do those kind of knucklehead things, Jesus doesn't come to us and condemn us. We're acceptable before God because our state is we are as we ought to be before God. And he comes to us and says, look, that was wrong what you did. That was wrong how you acted. You don't have to act that way anymore. I live in you as the righteousness of God. I'm now the standard, and I'm also the power, the ability to live this out. And so why don't we start behaving as we are? Why don't we start living by me in relationships with people in life, just as you live in me in acceptance before God? And so one of the things that we can know is this: if you feel like God's calling you out because you mess up, that's not God. He always calls us forth, not out. Because it doesn't accomplish anything to call you out except make you feel bad. Jesus went to the cross so you wouldn't have to feel bad about who you are. He went to the cross so that you could feel good about who you are in him. And the only way you're going to change is being reminded, having your mind renewed, that Christ is now your life. And normal for you is the righteousness of God in Christ to come forth from you. And in the process of learning all that, you don't have to fear God rejecting you because you didn't get it right yet. Because you are as you ought to be in terms of your condition in Christ before him. He's taking care of that. You have to fear the rejection ever again. God never talks to you about how disappointed he is in you. He will talk to you about how disappointed he is for you because he's called you to have life and life more abundant, and you're wasting time not living that. Amen? Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.